Jonadeb Chaudhuri, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. We're at the Southern Gaming Summit, and it's good to have a tribal presence in the South here. It's such an important part of the gaming industry overall. What do you feel about the tribals here in the South?
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to sit down with you, Roger. I very much respect the role that you played in demonstrating to the larger public what Indian gaming is, mm-hmm. and the distinctions between Indian gaming and other types of gaming. And that's an important effort here at Southern Gaming, but it's an important effort across the board. So I appreciate the
Thank
role
you.
That you played in highlighting the story of Indian mm-hmm. gaming, and I'm happy to be here as a regulator to help talk about the regulatory structure of mm-hmm. Indian gaming and how that compares and contrasts with other regulatory structures. It's important to make to engage the public on what Indian gaming is.
Sure.
And that's why we're here.
Great. So you've actually come to the end of your term. We're sitting here on May 3rd, and your term was officially over April 30th. So I know they call this kind of the holdover period. How long does that last? Can it be a month? Can it be 6 months? What do you have to say about that?
Well, I'm focused on tying up as many loose ends as possible. I don't anticipate being at NIGC forever.
Mm-hmm.
I do anticipate being at the agency through a significant part of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working as diligently as possible to serve Indian country and the general public to the best of our abilities, knowing that my time is coming to a close. We've
mm-hmm.
been working for many months to get important regulations out the door, to take care of things that are specific to the chair's duties. But I will say it has been an absolute honor to serve as chairman of NIGC during this period of time.
Don't worry, fine. Go ahead.
During this period of time, it just so happened when I became acting chair,
mm-hmm.
it was the 25th anniversary month of the passage of the Indian Gaming
okay.
Regulatory
right.
Act, October 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So my term will have spanned as chairman, either acting or confirmed, the 25th anniversary through the 30th anniversary
right.
year.
Yeah.
Of Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. And we've seen a lot of changes,
sure.
but there are many more changes to come.
Well, it has been an important period, you know, as following the NIGC all these years, you know, there's always something coming up. And there was you know, a lot of questions about how the agency was going to be viewed, not only by Indian country, but by the public sector. And I think you've done a good job in really, you know, calming that down, calming the waters down, and really bringing the respect, you know, back to the agency.
Thank you, Roger. We recognized early on that IGRA carved out an important role for NIGC, and that was to first and foremost serve as a regulator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my professional career, I've always been, I've been immersed in Indian country. I'm proud of the work that I've been able to do as an attorney, as a judge, as an organizer in Indian country. I'm a supporter and believer of sovereignty, first and foremost, to the core. But I also understand that Indian country has needed and will continue to need NIGC to be a credible regulator. So our challenge when I first started was, given the history of the agency, how do you hit that balance to be supportive of tribal sovereignty, tribal decision making,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time not shirking your regulatory responsibilities?
Sure.
It's a fine balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think after 30 years of IGRA, we've hit the correct balance
mm-hmm.
point, and that's I think that has gone a long way to calming any waters that they're and calming any concerns over whether or not NIGC was a credible regulator.
Sure.
I think we've
right.
obtained credibility, but we've also supported Indian country at the
right.
same time.
Okay. Well, that's a great accomplishment right there. But what do you consider some of your other accomplishments that you've done over this time?
And thank you, Roger. And after 30 years of IGRA, I'm convinced that we're on the cusp of a new age of gaming. Gaming is an industry that's inherently driven by technology. The technological developments that are on the horizon are going to drive important policy decisions, both nationally and on a regional basis. And I think we positioned the agency and, by extension, positioned our partners to be in a great place to meet the challenges of those changes and take advantage of the opportunities mm-hmm. that those changes will present. So some of the accomplishments break down into two categories. One is on the technology side of the equation. One of our first orders of business after I started was to create a technology division mm-hmm. in recognition of the changing technological landscape of Indian gaming.
Sure.
And that division has done what we intended it to do.
Mm-hmm.
It has informed every aspect of our agency since it started. I'm very proud to have a great division director, Travis Waldo,
mm-hmm.
Who comes from Indian country, who understands the technological changes. That division has helped inform our regulatory decision-making. It's helped inform our guidance. It's helped inform our enforcement functions, and it's also informed our training and technical assistance. We now have IT vulnerability assessments that we do free of charge for Indian country, actually prepaid since
sure.
tribal funds pay our for our functions. We recently, and this is big, we recently approved some alternative standards for mm-hmm. the Agua Caliente tribe in California, the Agua Caliente band, that will empower their commission to make decisions about whether or not to approve player-owned mobile gaming devices
okay.
on their lands.
Mm-hmm.
And Agua Caliente is it has a unique land base. It has a checkerboard reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that technology will drive how Agua Caliente will maximize their economic opportunities, we wanted to make sure our regulatory approach at least didn't get in the way
sure.
of those developments. So I'm very proud of, I think over time people will recognize how significant of a decision that
right.
was
sure.
to
mm-hmm.
approve those alternative standards. And we're just going to be seeing more of those technological tweaks that influence how tribes structure their regulatory structures, but also influence how policymakers approach regulation in Indian country. We're proud to be on the forefront of that. So we've made all sorts of huge advancements
mm-hmm.
in terms of technology. And that's the first bucket. The second bucket is, back to the point that I made, I think we've hit a perfect balancing point in everything that we do as an agency to balance our credibility as regulators with our support of tribal sovereignty and tribal decision making. You see that in our enforcement
mm-hmm.
philosophies. We have a gamesmanship initiative that emphasizes going after third-party threats to tribal assets and operations, but doing it in a way that we work hand in hand with our regulatory partners,
mm-hmm.
which are the primary regulators of Indian gaming,
sure.
The tribes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, that balance point has influenced our ramping up our numbers on the training and technical assistance side through our virtual trainings. We now train more people, and we've been training more people each and every year since I've been at the agency. We now train more of our regulatory partners than we ever have, and we train them on up-to-date, cutting-edge technologies,
mm-hmm.
up-to-date
mm-hmm.
and cutting-edge information about our regulations, tribal best practices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of those two buckets,
okay.
A, technology, and B, finding the right balance point between being a credible regulator and supporting tribal sovereignty. I think those two categories have helped situate NIGC perfectly for the challenges ahead,
mm-hmm.
for the opportunities ahead, and I think we've gone a long way to supporting our partners in that regard as well.
Okay, great. Let's go back for a second to this Agua Caliente thing. I'm interested in that. That it sounds like people can gamble then on their personal devices while they're on tribal land. Is that necessarily in the casino or just tribal land altogether?
Well, we haven't approved that ourselves.
Right,
what
you're saying
they
can set the standard.
There's an opportunity under our regulations for a tribe to apply for alternative technical
mm-hmm.
standards that allow a tribe to submit a plan,
mm-hmm.
Explain why the deviation from our day-to-day technical
mm-hmm.
standards is merited, and why the deviation still affords sufficient protections
mm-hmm.
under IGRA.
Okay.
We worked hand-in-hand with Agua Caliente for quite some time. Our technical team did. Travis Waldo and others from our technical division, as well as our general counsel's
mm-hmm.
office, worked with Agua Caliente, and we approved those standards, which allowed the Gaming Commission, the Agua Caliente Gaming Commission,
right.
to approve appropriate devices
okay.
to be played on Agua Caliente lands. So the commission is empowered to make those decisions. There are a number of ancillary safeguards that the tribe has put into place that aren't part of the alternative standards that will allow them to make informed decisions on secondary issues
mm-hmm.
such as geofencing, such as how to ensure that players are playing on the lands that the Agua Caliente Gaming Commission has designated as appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, and depending on what the Tribal Gaming Commission approves, in theory, these devices can be used on lands approved by the commission, which could extend to any number of eligible gaming lands within Agua Caliente's jurisdiction, within Agua Caliente's lands. So in other words, depending on what the commission decides as authorized by the tribal leadership, these devices can be played in a number of areas.
Sure, okay.
Not just, in theory, casino floors.
Sure, okay. So you're giving them the option to explore this area.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And because we're talking about IGRA gaming, these lands, any lands that would be played under this process
mm-hmm.
would still have to be lands eligible for gaming under IGRA.
Of course,
right. That's much broader than
mm-hmm.
just the casino floor.
Right. Would it just be Class II gaming, or is it the full range?
Well, in theory, the approvals that the tribe could issue could extend to Class II or Class III.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So when you came on...
With Class III, you get into compact
issues, right,
whether
right.
or not...
Right.
You know, certain types of gaming is appropriated under the compact, but for our purposes, in theory,
right.
it could extend to both Class
right.
2
and
Class
3.
And
if it went to Class 3, they'd have to make an arrangement with the state where
yep.
they're located.
Yep.
Okay, great. So when you came on, I'm sure you had some sort of preconceived notion of what your job as a regulator would be. What is, now that you're coming to the end of your term, what surprised you? What was something that you didn't expect?
Well, part of it is, part of it involved my coming to this as a policy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very honored to have served in the Assistant Secretary's office immediately before NIGC.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I had advised and worked with tribes in a number of capacities over the years. So I thought, I thought the biggest challenges would be advancing sound policies,
mm-hmm.
which I think we've done. I think
sure.
we've advanced sound gaming policy
mm-hmm.
in Indian gaming. But what I didn't anticipate was how much hard work there'd be just in the day-to-day administrative functions of
right.
the agency. When I started, we didn't have caller ID.
Right.
And that's why we recognized early on, if we're going to be regulating a technological industry,
right.
we have to have the capacity
sure.
ourselves to do it. That's why we created the division. Working through red tape to get the agency to where it needs to be that credible regulator,
mm-hmm.
it's taken a heck of a lot of work on for all of our team. Unfortunately, we've got the best team in the business.
Yeah.
But just the day-to-day work as a federal agency to just do your job as a regulator
right.
has been challenging. Along those lines, the public education role that's important for Indian country on the national scale is also important on an administrative scale. So when we work with other agencies, oftentimes, because we're the only agency that regulates gaming of any
right.
kind, and we're definitely the only agency that regulates Indian gaming, a lot of our work behind the scenes is working with other agency partners
sure, right.
to help develop sound approaches
mm-hmm.
among our partners. And that's all behind the scenes work.
Sure.
That's behind the scenes work. And I think now where we are versus where we were 5 years ago, we're in different office space
mm-hmm.
where we have caller ID for
yeah,
some,
that's good.
But we've made great gains in bringing the best and the brightest
mm-hmm.
to the agency to help poise the agency to meet the challenges ahead. But a lot of the gains that have been made in terms of the day-to-day operations of an agency are behind the scenes. We've had to, we already had a great starting point. And I always give credit to the commission before me in terms of trying to be supportive of Indian country. But we still had a lot to do to instill or to build on an agency culture of being strong regulators,
mm-hmm.
but being pro-sovereignty
right.
at the same time.
Sure.
And now I think to a person, everybody is moving in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
I thought it would be instituting large-scale policy or perhaps working through some tough enforcement actions or working through some critical matters that implicated Supreme Court decisions.
Right.
And we've done that.
Sure.
I mean,
right.
my first week, we had to deal with the Bay Mills
right. mm-hmm.
issue, which was before the Supreme Court. We've certainly had those big picture
mm-hmm.
challenges, but the hardest part was the administrative day-to-day work and keeping folks moving in the same direction,
sure.
keeping folks energized and really being part of a team that, you know, we're in order to get the job done, we all had to believe in the same
mm-hmm.
and the same approach. And
right.
I think collectively we've done it.
Yeah, great. So you've also presided over a change in administration here from the Obama administration to the Trump administration. And I think some of the fears that people had about Trump are haven't come true. You know, he certainly appointed a lot of Native Americans to the positions that he's replaced. But you know, you've had to deal with this on a day-to-day basis. What kind of interaction have you had with the new officials in BIA and all the other departments that you interact with?
Well, while I'd agree that some things may have come true, some things may not have
mm-hmm.
come true. It's still early.
Sure,
it's
right.
still
yep,
very
it's
very early, and the filling of key policy positions is still a work
mm-hmm.
in progress.
Right.
And so I think we've done a great job of maintaining a steady trajectory
mm-hmm.
at NIGC while other key positions remain to be filled. I mean, for example, there's not a confirmed assistant secretary.
Right.
There are counterparts in other agencies that we work with that haven't been filled. We have done our best to explain our approach, our mission, whenever we can with
mm-hmm.
our partners. But one of the benefits of the way IGRA structures our agency, we do operate independently to a great degree
right.
from other agencies. We're housed in the interior, but we're an independent regulatory agency. We have to work with FBI on a lot of matters.
Mm-hmm.
We work with DOJ on
sure.
a lot of matters, DOI. But our agency is inherently nonpartisan, nonpolitical.
Mm-hmm.
Our commission is structured to include a diversity of political affiliations, perspectives,
mm-hmm.
and tribal affiliation. Two members have to be members of federally recognized tribes. So that there's a mandate that we see ourselves first and foremost as regulators. That's that's helped us during the transition period. But it's still early to see what type of philosophical policy direction the new administration will really put forth. Under the previous administration, we're never an extension of the policy agenda necessarily of a given administration, but it was easy to look at the things coming from DOI and the Obama administration and recognize the similarities there to our approach. So, for instance, the Obama administration was very supportive of restoration of tribal homelands, was very supportive of empowerment of tribal nations for local decision making. Well, that's right up our alley when it comes to being regulators at NIGC. IGRA provides a number of potential categories for gaming on eligible Indian lands, some of which is involves reservation lands, but some of which involves lands of restored tribes, lands from settlement acts. And so we've tried to recognize IGRA's inherent flexibility. It was easy to line our work up with those greater commitments to restoration of homelands previously when they were clearly articulated. I think right now we're still in a work in progress state with this administration to see what types of philosophical approaches are adopted. But beyond whatever any one administration puts forth as their policy agenda, we always go back to IGRA. IGRA was self-determination. Despite its limitations and despite its infringements on inherent sovereignty, and there's no way of, it's just true that it did curtail tribal sovereignty. It still retained tribes as the primary beneficiaries of their operations, primary regulators of their operations. It still set forth the fundamental federal policies of self-sufficiency, tribal economic development, and strong tribal governments as the public policy purpose of the statute. And we always go back to IGRA's purposes, regardless of what is going on anywhere else in the federal family. And we're governed by those self-determination principles that set forth under IGRA.
Okay, great. So what is next for you? You're still a young man. You've got a long career ahead of you. What would you like to do?
And thank you, Roger. I just want to continue serving Indian country. And certainly having a front row seat to some of the technological changes that are on the horizon and potentially some of the policy changes on the horizon, I want to use my background and my perspective to continue serving Indian country, the general public, underrepresented communities to the best of my ability with that perspective and hopefully help prepare whoever I work with to meet those challenges and opportunities in the technological arena, but also in the policy arena in the coming years. As I said before, I think Indian gaming and Indian policy as a whole, it's on the cusp of some watershed changes over the next few years. I feel very honored and privileged to have had the front row seat that I've had over these last few years. And whatever capacity I find myself in, I do want to continue to serve Indian country and the general public. That said, I haven't actively been looking. I meant what I said.
Right.
People have been asking what I'm going to be doing next since the last election, and my standard response was always I'm not going to think about that until my term's over.
Right.
I promised Indian country, I promised the U.S. Senate, I promised the White House, I promised everybody who supported me taking this position that I work to the best of my abilities to serve in this position throughout my term. and I wasn't going to be thinking. No actions I've taken have been geared towards setting up the next step.
Right.
So I haven't talked to folks. Mm-hmm. It's just now that my term's over, it's just now that I'm starting to think about, well, what does life after NIGC look like?
Great.
Maybe I should have been thinking about that a year ago, but I didn't want anything to detract from us working our hardest throughout my term.
Well, I think any organization that decides you'll fit in is going to benefit greatly. So, again, congratulations on your term at the NIGC. I think you've done a great job. You've certainly elevated the status of that organization, and I think whatever you do in the future is going to be helpful to Indian Country and to the gaming in general. So thanks for the time, and we appreciate you stopping by.
Again, thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for all that you've done to elevate the status of Indian gaming and the knowledge of the general public about Indian gaming over these years. So thank you so much, Roger. Thank you.
Okay, that worked well.